Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. Appreciate you being a part of the broadcast. And a special happy November 19th to you. Thanksgiving week. There's so much to be thankful for in our industry and in our country. Special last week we had the Veterans Day celebration and are just honoring our vets. And we continue to be so thankful to our veterans that serve across the country, that have served, that are serving still, and are away from families. So happy Thanksgiving greetings going out to all of our veterans across the country, across the world. And again, a special thank you to you, our listeners, that have made this program such a success. Listen to around the world, but certainly around the mortgage world. And we have had over 100,000 downloads, unique downloads, in the last 90 days of our broadcast. That's astounding to me how many people are using this as a means to keep themselves updated on all that's going on in the industry. Appreciate you being with us. We do this over the internet, everybody. As you all know, this is internet based. Well, guess what? Today I come out to my office and we lost internet connection. So they scrambled out here and got it. Hopefully we're going to have internet connection all the way through the whole broadcast. And hopefully this new mic is working, broadcast mic is working. We've updated modems and servers, so we'll let you know. But not only is the prophet doctor, but he's also our audio quality expert. So quality assurance comes from the prophet doctor. So we'll get him dialed in on that a little bit later. Again, we want to say thank you to our new sponsor, A La Mode, which has just released a special announcement. And again, A La Mode from Mercury Network. We just received word after Hurricane Sandy that A La Mode has made the decision to waive all transaction fees for the catastrophic disaster area inspection reports. Again, the demand for these reports surged over 200 times over normal levels since Hurricane Sandy, and lenders can order them at www.mercurybmp.com/sandy. This report is like a triage tool to help lenders get quick feedback on the assessment on the status of their collateral, the viability of their collateral. The catastrophic disaster area inspection reports, or CDAR, as they call it, CDAR, a little French accent, lets qualified appraisers quickly and inexpensively complete and deliver an initial boots on the ground assessment of the property damage and marketability and habitability of homes. So Mercury Network is the nation's leading appraisal management company, handling over 20,000 appraisal transactions per day. That's an astounding number. The nation's leading largest to some of the leading largest lenders and AMCs. So you may want to check them out. Go out and get some more information about them by going to www.mercury.com. MERCURY, for those of you like me, spelling challenge, mercuryvmp.com/sandy for more information about the catastrophic reports that they're doing. So we appreciate A La Mode being a part of our listening audience for certain, but more importantly, a part of our support network and advertising with us on the radio. So go out and check them out. Appreciate them very much. And to all our friends at A La Mode, happy Thanksgiving. Joe Farr, let's get into what's going on what's going on as it relates to the markets. And scrolling up to your notes from the day, it sounds like prices are down a little. So what's up?
Just a little. MBS prices opened lower and stocks opened higher, mainly on increasing optimism that the fiscal cliff may get avoided. I think the conversation out of Washington over the weekend was a little more, a little softer in positions and potential for a settlement or an agreement of some sort seems a little more likely today. So
yeah.
MBS prices are down and stocks are up. Stock market's up about 170. MBS prices have been a little lower than they are right now. They're now down 4. But yeah, not a big move, but it's nice to hear that something may be getting worked out in Washington.
Oh, yeah,
finally.
Yeah, no kidding. Pleasant surprise.
This morning, existing home sales came out, and they were up nicely, up 2.1% over the prior month, and up 10.9% over last year. So it was a real nice thing. And then home builder confidence came out this morning as well, and it's the highest it's been since 2006. So, you know, some nice movement in a good direction for the home selling business. So.
Absolutely.
Dave, last week had some pretty major events, but very little net result, very little net change. MBS prices changed. I think they were down 1/32nd for the week. There was some volatility during the days in the week, in that we had price changes on three out of the four business days last week. The news for the week was not really a big factor. You know, there was no real change in position over the fiscal cliff last week, and the news out of Europe was that, you know, it's pretty much still the same old stuff going on. The economic events last week, I had mentioned they were very significant. We had the two major inflation measures, and those were both tame. We had retail sales. A number of the growth numbers came out weaker than expected, and the economist and investor community are trying to identify to what extent Hurricane Sandy was a cause in a lot of those measures to miss. Retail sales, industrial production, Philly Fed, they were all negative for the month, and it is a belief that Sandy had a good bit of influence on that, and as a result, the next month's announcements may show better than expected retail sales, but they too will be influenced by the effect of Sandy on the October numbers. This week we have a FOMC meeting minutes come out. Last week we had
last
it come
week,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah, last week. And the discussion there was primarily people read into the minutes that there's a likelihood or at least more of a chance that once Operation Twist is over, that some new bond asset buying program will come in there, whether it's MBS buying, which may be difficult because there's not a whole lot more that they're not already buying, or Treasury market buying. It didn't have a big influence on either of those two markets, but you know, it was a headline, you know, coming out of the FOMC minutes, and we'll see what happens from here.
See with that, yeah, absolutely.
This week, Thanksgiving week, short week. Markets are closed Thursday, obviously. There's an early close on Friday. They'll be open a full day on Wednesday. Housing starts comes out tomorrow. Jobless claims and consumer sentiment on Wednesday. There is an ECB meeting on Thursday, and they'll be considering whether or not they are ready to extend more credit to Greece. And then, of course, everyone's got to keep an eye on and hope for the best in the Middle East as things began to escalate over the weekend. Fortunately, they're in some serious ceasefire negotiations, and you know, if that thing were to escalate in a big way, it could have a, you know, devastating impact on the people there, obviously, but also an impact on the market, in which it would likely create a little flight to safety. So that's it for the week, Dave.
Well, there's a lot. There's no question that all eyes are on Europe and specifically what's going on in Israel right there. It's just you look at the rockets flying and you just go, how can people live in that kind of deal? So, you know, this thing's going to got to get resolved. There's got to be a lot of forces behind the scenes working to get that straightened out. Joe Farr, thank you so much for bringing us an update. What are you going to be doing for Thanksgiving? Staying local?
We have my wife's family's rather large family going to gather at the lake right real close to you.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we'll have 30 people out there. It'll be a big time.
Yeah, big time out at the lake. That's always fun. Yeah, I appreciate you being with us. One of the things I'm grateful for, Joe, is you and the rest of the crew being a part of this broadcast, for making it so special and really bringing so much critical information to the industry. Really appreciate it. Very thankful that you're here, and I hope you have a blessed Thanksgiving week.
Well, thank you very much.
You want to stay tuned, everybody. This is a roundtable discussion later on. We're talking about politics. We've had so many guests on, and we just don't really get a chance to really come back, and the three and four of us really get a chance to dive into talking about these things. So we're going to be doing that in the special Hot Topic segment today. That we have no guests. We are the guests. We are going to be discussing what's going on in politics, what we can look forward to going, what's going on, all the perspective on where do we go from here, especially we begin to look at the end of the year and what this all means with this administration. And it could be a fascinating broad discussion. I always love this because, and I really appreciate you, many of you who say the things that you do. We like it when you have guests, but we really like it to get your perspective. So you're going to get it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteland delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur. Get MBS prices as trades happen. Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com. MBSQuoteLine.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Alice Alvey, it's so good to know you're out there. You're another one of those people I'm just saying a little special thanks, a prayer of thanksgiving for you being in our lives and being a part of it. You make it so special, especially when you bring us the legislative update each and every week. So, Alice, I know you're mobile today, but give us an update.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you, too. We love that you put together this program. It's fun to be a part of it. As we know, Congress isn't here for very long because they were out getting elected, and then now, of course, the holiday's coming up. So my focus for today's report is about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau again, right? Who else? So they did issue a final rule giving the servicers an exemption from implementing a couple of their disclosures that were going to be triggered January 13th. When I say there, I mean the servicing side. So cancellation of escrow account, a consumer's liability for debt payment after foreclosure, the creditor's policy for accepting partial payments, those three things were slated to have a final rule and be out there by the middle of January. So they did exercise their authority that due to the transfer of these regulations from the Federal Reserve Board to CFPB, CFPB is going to say, let's push this deadline out. And actually, because we have a little bit of this potentially incorporated into our new combined GFE and TIL disclosures and HUD 1 and final TIL disclosures, that, you know, why duplicate this? So, woohoo, we're all for postponement of regulations. Now, on the other hand, to me, you know, is it a good or a bad thing to keep postponing things or keep piling on? You know, we in the news we've been talking about this fiscal cliff. I think we have a disclosure avalanche coming.
It's a fiscal disclosure. That's good,
Alice. I'm gonna be talking about our disclosure avalanche because it's you need to take spreadsheets to try and figure out what days all of these things may come into play. Well, we can talk about that more on our hot topics when you want me to talk about the future. So, from InfoBytes, Buckley Sandler's report, they were saying a lot of news agencies are reporting that Raj Date, deputy director of the CFPB, is going to leave the Bureau. He's been in there. It's kind of this transition now with Richard Cordray. So that was just news. And then CFPB also has this new component on their website, this Project Catalyst that they advertised in their press release. So I went out and checked it out. This Project Catalyst is designed to get consumer and industry feedback to say, tell us about your latest and greatest ideas so that we can help consumers and what are the ideas to make policymakers smarter, right? And I'm sorry. and any ideas you have on new designs for consumer-friendly financial products. So the first thing they're looking for is consumer credit and debit card billing dispute data. So that doesn't sound like me, but it sounds like maybe credit card information. And trying to find out what value consumers place on easily depositing and obtaining immediate access to funds. Really kind of focusing on those two areas to start with. So anybody can go to the CFPB website and say, you have an idea. Click here, right? It's one of the things you got to love about their website. But be careful. It's public record. So check your typos.
Everything you say can and you will be used.
I know. My favorite is when people go, you guys are idiots. I'm going, would you want to be audited next? So, you know, careful what you say. They're listening. So anyway, it looks like an idea they're trying to get off the ground and worth checking out. Also, the American Bankers Association and the American Bar Association met last week, and there's more talk about creating an AML task force. Well, as a matter of fact, there is an AML task force now. I think this is very much a reminder for lenders. You have to have a policy, and banks, I don't think the mortgage departments really know what they're supposed to be sending to that BSA officer. So really watch your mortgage fraud. There's going to be much more focus on those anti-money laundering policies. And then last but not least, the Senate Banking Committee on the 14th had a hearing about community banks specifically on Basel III, and basically timelines start to look like they're long. We didn't get any new information for implementation of any of those requirements right now. So that is my latest and greatest report, Dave.
It's always the latest and it's always the greatest. And, you know, when you're... And then I'm listening to your voice. I listen to that giggle, that affection that you just get, can't help but just love that giggle when you start going in some aspect of this. It's sometimes you want to cry, but sometimes you just have to laugh. But
that's
right.
I always say laughter is the best medicine in this business right now.
there is. And we do have to laugh if we do give out some of this information. It's interesting. There's a lot going on, but I mean, I can't wait to get to the next segment because the Profit Doctor has been a little bit more optimistic, Alice, about the outcome of this election
really?
Than I was. I know
Optimism
it.
Candy?
I know.
All right.
I know it. We can't wait to get him on here and tell us. But we're going to get that in the Hot Topic segment. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin'.
Good to have you back with us. Again, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Another person I'm grateful for, thankful for, is Joe Alice, and now the Profit Doctor, because I tell you, I like what my wife said. You know what? We have any money when we're done, it'll be because the Profit Doctor got in your life, Dave. You are just out there, and you need people like the Profit Doctor in your life. So I'm thankful for you. My wife's thankful. My family, my bank accounts are all thankful that you're in our in my, not only my life, but in my business and every aspect, Danny. So good to have you with us. And
thanks, Dave. You're too kind.
You are out in San Diego sharing the knowledge that only the Profit Doctor has about a lot of things. So give us an update and a report from San Diego. And what was the conference? This is where all the bean counters get together?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like you let in the segment by saying that you'll have more money because you've got a bean counter in your life. And then you talk about the conference, and all these companies are going to make more money because they have the bean counters in their lives.
That's right.
It's the same thing. We ran into a lot of people, finance people, accounting people. As I was Teresa from our team and I were doing the presentation, she was covering all the technology stuff. I was covering a lot of the accounting and other details, and people were really interested. We were talking about the details of financial forecasting and due diligence reports, and how do you know you really got what you think you got. And it was really fun because they're a bunch of accounting people, so they're focused and they go to the sessions. That's one of the things that the people at the registration booth were talking about. I asked them, I said, so how's it going? How's the attendance? And I said, it's great attendance. It's more than we've had in many years in the past. And I think part of that's because Marina Walsh, being kind of the marketing person that she is, realized they needed to change the title. Instead of calling it the tax conference, call it the accounting and financial management conference, because nobody wants to go hear about taxes.
Oh, yeah.
So they changed the name, and the registration increased by almost a third.
Wow.
So the registration was late, but they were saying at the registration booth that they really love having these accounting conferences, these financial management conferences, because the people actually go to the sessions.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. See, you know, the bean counters, they always like, they're so obedient. I mean, they go to where they're supposed to be. They're there on time, and they're taking notes and you know, paying attention. Yeah, I get it.
Well, it was a good session. our session went really well. A lot of interest in M&A. You know, we're having more activity now than I guess we've seen ever. Everybody on the listening to the show knows, you know, Chuck Klein, one of our partners, been in this area for, you know, 30 years, and
yep.
There's more activity now than pretty much ever in the history of mortgage banking.
Yeah, and by activity, you mean the M&A activity, more M&A activity, merger and acquisition.
Yeah, the merger and acquisition activity is
yes.
accelerating even beyond what it's been, so that's exciting to be a part of.
It is. So what did you – and so you talked on that and spoke – give us a little insights as to some of the things you shared.
Well, we talked about the fact that when you first start down this path, it's important to know where you're going to go. You want to begin with the end in mind.
Heard what that a few times, haven't we, from you?
Yeah, over and over and over and over and over and over. Begin with the end in mind. We want to be able to know what we're going to get when we get there and know that you've arrived when you've arrived. So anytime you start down this M&A path, it's important to know what are you trying to accomplish? And then you got to understand the market dynamics, the financial drivers. You got to understand how does all this fit together, and then you know try to find a company that can fit your objective. And then finding the company is a challenge in and of itself. You know, Chuck's got thousands of companies, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of companies that he knows to try to find a fit for someone. But then once you find a company, the due diligence process, the deep
yeah.
dive way into the weeds, deep into the roots, to find if this company really what you think it is another really, really important aspect that got to do it right, got to make sure you're checking the checkers. And one of the things Teresa was talking about is data validation, because you can have a great-looking financial statement that's being fed by a corrupted interface, and you won't know that it's wrong. And as you're doing your due diligence, you got to be able to plan this. And then once you're past due diligence, you got to make sure the philosophical alignments are right, that people are really going to fit. And one of the big, big changes for folks is that we have there's a new sheriff in town. And if you're an operator and you're selling into a big commercial bank, you're not in charge anymore. There's a new sheriff in town. You're now accountable to somebody else. You got to get their permission for expenses. You got their permission for different things. And so it's a big, big change philosophically. And then also you've got to integrate the whole thing in well, and that's where we've seen so many things go sideways.
If the
integration planning isn't done really, really well, you can have this great idea of what could be and even have a company that fits and have a philosophical alignment, and everybody forgot that, oh, my gosh, we've got to integrate this well. You know, it's not done until the fat lady sings, and the fat lady sings doesn't happen until 12 months after the integration starts and you have a very solid integration plan. So there's a lot to it, and we talked about all that. And for all those that attended, thanks for attending.
Well, what other updates of the Profit Doctor have that we should be paying attention to in the industry?
Well, you know, there's this pesky little OCC bulletin that is not new. But what it does is it requires commercial banks that if you hire somebody who has a customer-facing function, like, for example, you're a mortgage originating commercial bank and you retain servicing. So if you're servicing retaining, but you don't have a big enough platform, or you feel like it's more efficient to hire a subservicer, so you hire, you know, Cinlar, Doble, Mule, Everbank, whoever, you hire a big subservicer, you have delegated to them the servicing responsibility, which means they are now customer-facing, collecting payments, foreclosing, delinquency activity, all this stuff. You, as the servicer, the commercial bank that originated the loan, that retained the servicing, that owns the mortgage servicing right, you're responsible to make certain the vendor you've hired, in this case, Dovermule, Cinlar, you know, go down the list, is doing their job well. And you can't just assume that they are. And just because you have a contract that holds them responsible to do their job well, that's still not good enough under the OCC. You have to have that relationship validated, the service level agreement compliance validated. And that's some of what we do in our firm. As you know, Dave, we go out and check this stuff, make sure it's done right. Well, there's an OCC, a new CFPB bulletin. It's not really that new, but it's getting a lot of attention here lately. And it sounds like that commercial bank requirements are now going to land on mortgage banks.
Yeah.
Just like Joe's been saying all year, the playing field's being leveled. Well, it sounds like it's going to be leveled more. And it's sounding like mortgage banks are going to have to do the same thing and have their service level agreements with third-party providers validated on a regular basis, which is usually annually. So we'll get deeper into this. We'll get Alice looking into this, make sure I didn't miss something, make sure we got all the I's dotted and T's crossed and get people up to speed all the way. But that was an interesting point that's coming down. Commercial banking and mortgage banking is becoming fused together.
Interesting. You need a Sherpa crawling the mountain of new regulation. Yeah, Joe.
I just wanted to ask Andy, a typical mortgage banker would have how many relationships that would fall under this category?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
If you've got a subservicer, if you've got even potentially title things, if you've got data suppliers like LOSs and doc prep things and document things, and, you know, the list just goes on and on and on. If there's a lot of elements to be validated. You know, one of the at a commercial bank, there's probably 50 different relationships, some almost all of which have to be validated. There's not going to be that many in a mortgage bank, I don't think, but there's more than a few. It's certainly something to pay attention to.
I would
so
add
like
quality control services to that list too.
And
CRMs.
Yep.
You know, your marketing side.
There's
anything that's customer facing that you hire somebody else to do on your behalf, I think is going to fall in that category.
That is going to have an additional layer of cost, Prophet Doctor. And then already
is.
A fairly increasingly cost intensive aspect of our business. So
But the costs are going up, but the margins are going up. We're seeing companies have amazing years and talking about how excited they are to have big margins. Well, it's great that we have had bigger margins, and we're seeing big spreads in Ginnie Mae and all these other things, but we need it. We need it. It's not. Don't go spend it all. Save it, because we're going to have more costs to keep up with all this stuff.
That's what I was going to try to get to, is you can't spend it, folks. You got to put some of this away. You really need to start really redoing your financial models, looking at what the new expense base is as we go into 2013. And, you know, how many of the CFPB regulations have been actually issued? We had how many more do we have to go?
Well, it's a short list of the ones that have been issued, but in 2013, just off the top of my head, the mortgage-related ones are at least 6 or 7 disclosure rules, not counting QM and QRM.
Wow. Prophet Doctor, looks like we better be telling our clients and telling our listeners, set some money aside.
Yep, it's time to start saving.
Well, don't spend it all.
Well,
it's good to have you back home. You're going to be here for Thanksgiving. You doing anything special?
Aside from sitting at your doorstep trying to steal the pecan pie that was recently made, I think I may go over and visit my aunt who lives in Ingram, Texas, about 2 hours from Austin.
Well, drive safely. It's good to have you be a part of the broadcast and be a part of what we're doing here, and appreciate it. Tune in, and you just got to stay in touch with where Andy's speaking at these conferences. It's so important. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300
combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you back with us. It's November 19th. We say that periodically through the broadcast. For those of you who are downloading and listening to the broadcast, as many, many do, tens of thousands of people do each week. We appreciate it so much. So that's why we put the date in there. So which broadcast am I listening to? Oh, yeah. He just told me. November 19th. One of the other individuals I'm always so grateful for to have in my life and be involved in the broadcast and be a part of my professional life is Tony Garrettoni. He's then without question known as one of the guys that has his finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world of technology. We have him on the broadcast. We don't get to have him on every single week because he's had his power knocked out. He's had more things to deal with in the Northeast. But Tony, it's good to have you back with us. You've got power back?
We do, Dave, and thank you for continuing to include me in the broadcast. We actually had a little bit of a family vacation, and then we came back to Hurricane Sandy, and we were without power for over a week, but it's back, and we're getting back to normal.
So some of the technology you're investing in is a new generator?
Yes, we have the generator, and we're in the process of getting them to actually install it into the house. During the later part of the storm, we were able to power, as I think we talked, the bottom level of our house through the use of extension cords to the generator. So we'll be very thankful when the electrician gets that hooked up to the main circuit.
The main circuit, yeah. It's wild. You didn't realize we've gone backwards in time. We now need generators at all our homes, especially up there with all the stuff that's going on. And now you've got winter ahead of you. But let's talk about what some of the things that are going on. What is the industry significance of the IRS now allowing the 4506 to be electronically signed? That's I couldn't believe the IRS had done that.
Well, Dave, I mean, they had been going through a pilot in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I was aware of
that,
yeah.
And we all knew that it was coming, but we didn't think the announcement was going to come so quickly, which kind of took a lot of people by surprise. I think a lot of people were expecting that the announcement would come maybe next year. But they said that they're going to be accepting electronic signatures as of January 7th, 2013. And that is really great for the industry because the 4506T is becoming a big part of the disclosure process. As you know, it's really a big part of every lender's quality control, program. And it was one of the few disclosures that could not be done electronically. Yeah. So now it is conceivable that all of your upfront disclosures can be done completely electronically. I mean, I refinanced twice, and I did both of my refinances electronically, but in all cases I had to print out the 4506T, sign it, and fax it back.
Fax it in, yeah. Yeah, well, how can lenders take advantage of this new development, Tony? And what significance does this have, and is there a carryover into other areas?
Well, I think that it goes to Alice's comment, when she said that there are six new disclosure rules that, could likely happen next year. I think what's going to happen is lenders are going to have to become, more electronic, especially around disclosures. And the fact that the 4506T can now be electronic really allows lenders to have that complete audit trail around their disclosures, no matter how those disclosures change over time. And lenders really need to understand that it's no longer a nice to have. I mean, if you look at the tea leaves, the GSEs are now accepting electronic mortgages. FHFA has required that appraisals be done electronically and submitted electronically. We saw the extension of that this year through the ULDD initiative. Now we're seeing the IRS accept electronic signatures. And we're seeing more disclosure changes happening in 2013. I mean, if you're a lender and you cannot read between the lines, you need to go back to school, because the government, investors, the secondary market, they are all pushing lenders to go electronic, either through mandates or just through the opening up that door. And if lenders don't open up that door, especially with these new disclosures, I just don't see how they're going to be able to keep up in a paper world.
Yeah, that paper world is actually happening. We're actually seeing the disappearance. You know, I can't believe it's happening, but, you know, it seems to be actually. And this was the last holdout, so it's significant. And like you said, it happened rather unexpectedly, or quickly, not so much unexpectedly, The timing of it is rather quick, so that's good. Tony, thank you so much for bringing us an update. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? Staying home, or do you got the heat on? You going to cook something there?
Well, thankfully, we are not going to be hosting Thanksgiving this year, Dave. We're going to go to my sister-in-law's house enjoy the food there. And they're only about 40 minutes away from us, so it's not a big drive for us.
Well, you have safe travels. It's so good to have you be a part of it. Again, Tony, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy day to come and give us a technology update and keep our listeners informed of what's going on. Appreciate it so much. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and thank you.
You as well, my friend.
You as well. Have a great one. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back with the roundtable discussion right after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Good to have you back, everybody. Hey, Profit Doctor, we missed something when your segment. You were going to bring up something. Let's jump back to that.
Hi, Dave. Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We have an amazing opportunity that I wanted to mention to the audience, and that is we have been engaged by one of our clients, a commercial bank based in Texas. And this commercial bank based in Texas has been around for over 100 years, a great, well-established, well-capitalized, solid financial institution that has a mortgage division that's running great, but it's not very big, and they want to make it big and have it be a dominant player throughout the state, if not nationally. And so they are looking, with our help, to find a division president for their mortgage division.
Wow.
So it's a Texas-based commercial bank looking to hire a mortgage division president, and we're going to help them try to find that person. And what better way to get the word out than to talk about it on Lickin' on Lending? Lickin' on Lending is probably reaching more people.
Yeah,
it reaches more people. So if you know somebody who has experience leading a mortgage operation, has experience in a commercial bank at some level, and is a, you know, a solid mortgage banker with probably 10 plus years experience and commercial banking experience, please send a quick email to, here's the email address. It's easy to remember. It's hr@mbs-team.com, hr@mbs-team.com, with your resume attached, with a brief cover letter about your level of interest in working for and leading the growth of a mortgage division of a commercial bank based in Texas. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to have to update the size of our file server with all the people that are applying. Everyone that's out there, I'm hearing it's just so many people out and about that are unemployed or are underemployed in the mortgage industry. And what's so interesting about that, and it's good, we're going to do a roundtable discussion here, talk about all that's going on in the industry. And one of the things I want to share is I spoke of all things this last week. I, too, was in San Diego speaking at, you ready for this, a solar conference.
Mm.
And I go, what on earth would you, a mortgage professional, be speaking at a solar conference? What was interesting is a number of people have exited, people that have been displaced out of the mortgage industry are now in the solar business. You're going, yeah, jump from one disaster into potentially another. I mean, it's interesting, though, when you look at what's going on in the solar industry, there were a lot of parallels. One of the guys that was a leader, one of the senior executives at one of the more successful, larger solar companies, had been in the mortgage business, decided to suggest to this conference holder, he said, at the end of this conference, we need to set a half day aside and just talk about the parallels of where what went on in the mortgage industry and figure out what are the lessons we can learn in solar that were learned out of the mortgage industry. So that's the genesis of the concept of why they asked me to come and speak. It was a really interesting conference, but a third of the audience, Alice and Joe, were retired or displaced from, retired in quotes, displaced mortgage bankers, and the number of them that have been, I mean, some of them are 40-year executives in that. So it was really interesting and to see what's going on. So I spoke at the conference and in San Diego. Andy was out there at the other conference, the Bean Counter Conference, as I affectionately refer to it as. But it was interesting topics of what's going on across the industry. So much is changing, and our climate is changing. Yes,
did you tell them to only give solar power to people who can afford it?
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's so interesting when you look at it because everyone's paying attention to the what's going on in fracking, the gas prices, because, I mean, the cost of power is if it stays down, solar is going to struggle to get back up. Solar costs have come down. The panels and all of that has dropped by 70 to 80% because they're being manufactured in China. And so the cost has fallen dramatically. And so it really was quite interesting, although I was there with a bunch of Wall Street analysts and everyone doing how to structure these securities for the solar industry. So it was one of the topics that would just jumps out that I'd want to go sign up for. But I was glad I was there because I did learn a lot. But most really interesting is all the same people that did the mortgage-backed securities, all the major Wall Street firms, were there and involved in the solar industry. So you can draw your conclusion from that where solar is going. It is definitely heading towards more sophistication, more financing, similar to what we did in the mortgage industry. And so they're trying to figure it out, but I was glad to be there. So all the people are from the solar industry that are listening to the radio broadcast, glad to be there with you. And we hope you will continue to pay attention to what we've got going on in the mortgage industry because it's clear that there is some clear parallels there. But let's get into talking about politics. We've had so many guests on, Andy, Joe, and Alice, over the last weeks, and many of our listeners come back and say, you know what, it's great. I love the fact that you got guests, but we like hearing your opinions and your thoughts. So I want to start off by going over to Andy Schell, and because he kind of shocked me, listeners, because, you know, I'm a Republican, and I voted for Romney, and I was really concerned with the fiscal cliff. I'm concerned that, you know, can we afford four more years? So I was there. I mean, I was shocked. I like what John McCain said. You know, how are you taking the loss of this? Was that you, Andy? But it was he would say, how are you taking this loss? And he says, oh, no problem. I'm sleeping like a baby. He says, I go to sleep for a couple hours. I wake up and cry like a baby. Then I go back to sleep. I wake up and cry. That was hilarious when I read that. And I think that's a lot of us feel. A lot of us are surprised. But I think it speaks to the demographics. And I think probably the most significant takeaway for me out of this was the fact that we've had a shift in demographics. We have a new generation that's voting, and they're clearly buying into this message. And, Andy, I wanted to get your thoughts on it as we look forward, because you were one of the ones that going, you know, Dave, I don't think it's going to be that bad. I don't think it's going to be as devastating as you might have thought. Your thoughts, Andy?
Sure, Dave. Absolutely. Well, a couple of things. One point is that I believe that success finds success. And that just is a reality that I've experienced over my career. I've seen it in your careers with Alice and Joe. It's just a reality of business. Success finds success, and it will again still, even given the hurdles and challenges that we're facing now today. And an example of this, and something to remember too, is that everybody or a lot of people have seen the Broadway show Annie.
Yep.
It originally came out in 1977. It's set in 1933, and Annie's an orphan. And she sings this song called Tomorrow, and basically the lyrics are something like, the sun will come out tomorrow, bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. So we know the sun's going to come up tomorrow, even though Romney didn't win. And if you just think about, instead of today, think about tomorrow and what can be done in this lyrics. It continues to say, it clears out the cobwebs, it clears out the sorrows, till there's none. So when you get lonely or gray, you just stick out your chin and grin and say, the sun will come out tomorrow. It's a kid's song, it's a kid's musical, it's a great musical, it's really fun, it's a fun song. But that's it, Dave. The sun is going to come up tomorrow. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
The electricity is going to come on in Tony's house eventually, and we're going to be okay. And success is going to find success. It always does. It always will. They say the cream surfaces to the top, and it always does. No matter who's president, there's going to be a way for smart people to make money and be successful and survive.
I agree. It's a great perspective. I think, Joe, we've been looking and you've been talking about the fiscal cliff. I mean, it's real. What's going on in Europe is real. The fact that America has been looked at as the leader, Joe, I just really come back to the point. And I think that's the thing that was the leadership that we've seen in the first 4 years, in the first term of Obama, was not exactly what I had hoped for. And the hope and change and the positive leadership, the transparency. But it's so critical, especially looking at what's going on in Israel. You brought that up towards the end of your segment, Joe.
Right.
And the leadership that is needed in America. And I wanted to have our listeners get your perspective in this post-election analysis of politics and mortgage banking. What's your thought?
Well, kind of continuing Andy's theme, I think it's absolutely the right way to look at things in the shorter term. But I am concerned that we are teetering on the brink of a momentum shift, meaning things are going to shift over these next 4 years to the point where it's very hard to get back to a very heavily driven capitalistic sort of profits and jobs and all that being an okay thing. And the taxes that are coming from those who are able to be taxed are going to be spread among the many, and that's a good thing to an extent, but there's only so much that can be done.
What's the taxing of the rich? I mean, we're talking about, you know, we're going to pay for these new programs by adding taxes, and we're only going to do it to the top taxpayers. We heard him say that over the weekend. He said it was very effective. I mean, one thing you got to say for Obama, he is a very effective communicator. And in his over the weekend, he says, guys, I'm ready to do a deal. Bring me a deal that says where we're going to sign and only tax the highest earners. And that plays so well in so many Americans' ears. And I think that's why he did as well. And he literally took the cap off his pen and says, I'm ready to sign a deal here. That is a soundbite and an image that is really hard to refute, Joe. But as you look at – you do the economics and you look at – our update where interest rates are going. What are your thoughts on taxing the rich and how we're going to pay for these programs that we're going to be seeing more of in the years ahead?
Yeah, certainly the cliff has to be avoided, and let's just assume we're doing that. So now it's a matter of a social policy that is more of tax those who have the money and give it to those who don't. It's going to dissuade some capital investment. It's going to cause some jobs to change. I think the implementation of it, we've already heard people talking about, well, if I've got 49 employees right now, I'm not going to hire another one because I don't want to go over that Obamacare limit.
Yeah.
And there's just going to be more and more and more of that, it seems like. And so, you know, but as far as interest rates go and the
– where the market's going,
the current – Obama administration, it has been very bond friendly. We've seen some nice improvement in mortgage rates since the election, and it's a very accommodating Fed, and that's less likely to change with an Obama. I don't know if Bernanke's going to stay on or not, but we really are becoming, as an industry, I think we're very much benefited by the policies that create low interest rates. We talked earlier about the big margins. I mean, those margins are necessary in order to pay for the added costs of the compliance and regulatory and all that has been added to the industry and from a cost perspective. But, you know, it's going to be very hard to get off that. And I just don't see it happening in the short term, but I do see it happening. And when it does, it's going to be very painful.
It
is. But that's
well,
down the road.
To that point, do you see this administration addressing anything with Fannie and Freddie? I mean,
no.
You know, and yeah, I mean, that's my biggest concern is we're going to sit in limbo on that topic.
I don't think that's a bad topic, to be quite honest. I think that the benefits of having the agencies establish standards and be the conduit for mortgages. They don't need to own loans. They can be the conduit for mortgages. And, it would help to get a little, you know, quite frankly, there's a little bit of industry issues with the agencies, given that many people would like to be issuing securities and are not allowed to. And part of that's because the agencies want to issue them. But I don't see a lot happening there, and I don't think that that's a necessarily a bad thing, to be quite honest.
It may not be that it's going to be a change of the agencies that they're going away, per se, but the fact that now we're seeing more regulation, which Alice is talking about, the fact that we're going to see more regulation, and the fact that they're publicly admitting that or stating what we've been hearing at conferences quietly, and we've reported on, was that they're going to be limited the amount of what you can issue as a security based on your net worth. And that, quite frankly, is something that I think is a shift that's starting to happen that folks like Paul Mallow at National Mortgage News are reporting. But, Alice, I want to get your thoughts. Can we anticipate now as a result of having four more years of Obama and Cordray there, just continued avalanche, as you used, of the word you used earlier, of regulations?
Well, I think, originally I was looking, you look down each regulation, the big ones that we have pending and coming our way, and obviously the first two are QM and QRM. And so do those get some kind of life because under the impression that Fannie and Freddie are the status quo as they are today, or as Joe said, they're essentially establishing guidelines and kind of just being a traditional conduit role? And can you establish a QM that then is always going to, you know, be that it's a Fannie Mae loan? As long as I have an approved eligible, I'm good. And then we have to solve for the community bank lending and portfolio lending underneath that. So that's my concern is, now where are those going to go if we think we're not going to get any change or restructuring for Fannie and Freddie? The other regulations now are going to all move forward. I think where people had thought if the other guy had won, maybe some of these regulations would get pushed back a little bit for CFPB to reconsider, and I think now we can expect that they will all have, motivation to keep moving forward. Not that there was any big hope.
The whole
idea that somebody could repeal Dodd-Frank, I thought, well, that's a nice dream, but
that
I don't
is
think
a dream.
That was
a pipe dream.
Reality. So I think, you know, certainly we can, hopefully we're going to see that all these move forward. LO Comp, GFE Intel, and HUD-1 combinations, 3 days waiting before closing. We'll see what happens with that one. Nationalized servicing standards and high-cost mortgage rules. So a lot still on our plate to watch.
But, you know, with all of that, Obama's not stupid, and housing is going to need to lead the recovery and will lead the recovery. People don't have cash to pay for their housing, so they're going to be borrowing money. As people borrow money to buy their home, they're going to come to mortgage finance and get money, and we're going to make fees doing it. And, yeah, there's new rules and new regulations, and there's some uncertainty about Fannie and Freddie, but for now they're still there, and they're probably still going to be there. And the bad debt on the books are just going to age out. And so, you know, in all of this, I just don't see the sky falling. It's just, yeah, it's a hassle, and there's going to be some changes, and we need to be aware of it. We can't be Pollyanna about it and say that, you know, it's all going to be fine, don't worry about it at all. We're not saying that either, but I'm saying that despite the fact that there are some challenges, we are still going to be fine as long as we stay smart about it, don't do stupid things, manage our books big, manage our book of business well. Don't assume that because you did it in the past, you can do it in the future. Fair lending is going to be an issue. We got to really watch fair lending compliance. I mean, there's a lot of things we got to work on, but as long as we pursue these things well and understand the rules and do it well, I think there's still going to be success because I've seen it all my career. Success finds success, and I think that's going to be irrespective of who's in the White House.
Yeah, I think it's a great statement, Andy. And I really look at this. I mean, we've talked about the fact that the margins are as fat as they are. You're the profit doctor, and if yours aren't fat enough, get a hold of the profit doctor because you're going to need them fat for the regulation, the cost that Alice is talking about that's coming on. But Andy, what happens if we do start seeing a compression in the margins? Do you see any potential of that happening, or do you really believe that our profit margins are going to remain healthy as they are as we look forward into 2013 and beyond?
Well, it's just like with the airline industry when they implemented new requirements for safety, or even the auto industry when they implemented new requirements for safety. One of the things about having the government require changes is it applies to everybody. And as it applies to everybody and everybody as everybody retools the financial models to accommodate the additional costs, then yeah, the margins are going to have to be bigger to cover additional cost. There was the auto industry had an automaker named Tucker that came out in the 40s and had a bunch of really cool innovative ideas,
really
like seatbelts.
Cool. Yeah, great
seatbelts and all this. And they put him out of business because it was going to put the big three in trouble because they didn't want to have to do something that not everybody else had to do. And so finally they implemented seatbelt laws in the 60s. But still, as everybody's affected by everything, then there'll be, I think, there's going to be, the smart ones are going to see it coming, manage to it, and be able to make money despite of it.
Joe, it's certainly...
I think that's a huge point, is that they have to plan,
Good, absolutely. I mean, and Alice, when you're looking at the planning, I mean, compliance, you're watching what compliance QC, it is over the top. Your business partner, Jan Wetzel, is just buried as every other QC firm is. What do you see there? Are we just going to have larger and larger staffs? What do you see there as far as the trend lines for the future?
Well, I think the immediate issue is people have to have a better onboarding system, because you can't any longer just hire someone and say, here's what a mortgage processor is. Every single company is completely different on how they've implemented all the compliance pieces and all the tools that they're using and how to use technology. And lenders are really struggling with having a customized solution to onboard people quickly, let alone trying to find the staff, in the first place. But some areas that's easier than others, because we've definitely lost a lot of talent. So I think the future is you've got to look at, you completely changed your operations to accommodate these things. Your onboarding, everything has to change. And as Andy said, it all works. We're making good money now, right? So it's going to have to get spent on compliance.
And when we talk about being buried, it doesn't mean they're not being able to handle it. It's they're working through it, but certainly that is an area where that is not going to be backing off. And as we look at the operational issues, give us an idea. If you were looking at the crystal ball, looking into the future, what do you anticipate on an operational change as a result of the outcome of this election?
I'm going to have to be honest that I don't know if much has changed as a result of the election. Everybody has to pay attention early for all the changes that are going to be coming down. If you had any hope that they were going away, they're not. So start planning now. We haven't seen big changes between proposed rules and final rules, so maybe you can't implement everything, but you can certainly start to at least formulate some of these ideas on where they may be going, especially LO comp, looking at where that's going to go, because that one will probably come first since it has a more imminent deadline.
Alice, QRM, QM, what's your thoughts on that now that we have another 4 years of Obama?
Well, I'm going to leave that to the Washington insiders. There's lots of folks who talk to that group, to find out where it's going.
I don't,
in terms of predictions, at least from what I hear, it doesn't look like there's anything necessarily imminent right now, but with regulations, anything can change.
I heard someone make a comment that, they see a tendency for Obama to already start looking at what will be his legacy. What will he be leaving behind? And certainly he does not want to leave a train wreck of what's happening that he'll be blamed for the next 4 years or after this next election, as he's effectively pointing the finger at old George W. Bush. So, Joe, as you look at the future, and what's your words of wisdom to our listeners from this election?
Well, I was going to address the margins question earlier, but again, that has very little to do with the election. I think it's just a simple fact of supply and demand. The shifts are going to be fairly dramatic, I think, and from a shift in, there are going to be fewer mortgages to make, and therefore there are fewer mortgages in the system. You're going to have to compete harder to get the mortgages that are out there, and so there's going to be a drop in the margin associated with that. As far as the election and the legacy and all that, I guess it kind of considered LBJ2?
LBJ2.
That's going to be his legacy.
Yeah. That's good.
That's good.
That's a great perspective. Well, I appreciate you both for being, all three of you, for being a part of the broadcast as you have been. We appreciate it so much. And, folks, next week we've got Mike Anderson, someone that's about, was a broker of the year. He is the he is just all over the websites. He does a lot of things related to keeping the industry motivated to take action. So Mike Anderson is going to be our guest next week. You're going to want to stay tuned for that or tune in next week. Again, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. We're grateful that you listen to this broadcast, make it a part of your life. And our thoughts and prayers are with each of you and your families as we enter into these holidays. And as we look forward in this industry, I like what Andy Schell says. The prophet doctor says it's going to be okay tomorrow. I promise I won't sing. All right, let's stay with the voice here. Alice should do that. She's the vocal mayor. She's the one with the good musical talent. Folks, stay tuned. I mean, come back and listen to us next week as we listen to Mike Anderson share some ideas of how we can make a difference, things we can do. Thank you so much. A happy Thanksgiving, and talk to you next week.
This has been Lickin on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.